Well, we were going to do sports in the news. We may still be able to do it later in this hour, but Scott is currently running late, so I'm going to continue to run down through a list of the best-selling drugs in the world so that you might have a better understanding of why it is inappropriate to bash pharmaceutical companies in conspiracy theory groups. The number 39 most popular drug by sales is Seroquel XR, $1.2 billion. It is for severe mental disorders like schizophrenia. Coming in number 40 on the list, and also at 45, every drug at this point now is about $1 billion in sales worldwide, are the two erectile dysfunction drugs, and as we know, neither are really erectile dysfunction, Viagra and Cialis. At number 40 and number 45, they are performance enhancers. Alimta is a lung cancer drug. Victoza is a diabetes blood sugar control drug. Avonex is a multiple sclerosis drug. Nasonex is a nasal allergy, nasal congestion drugs. It's now available over the counter. Gilenya, at $1 billion, is a multiple sclerosis drug. Stelara helps combat the consequences of psoriasis. Flovent deals with acute bronchial spasms and asthma. Prezista helps combat the symptoms and spread of HIV. Procrit increases the red blood cells and that result from renal failure. It also helps replenish red blood cells that are destroyed during cancer chemotherapy. Isentress is a HIV combatant drug. Janumet is a diabetes blood sugar drug. Renvela reduces blood phosphorus in chronic kidney disease patients who are undergoing dialysis. And number 54 on the list, and I went down to 54 as opposed to 50 so that I would have every drug that represented over $1 billion in sales in the last years, but Humalog QuickPen at $1.3 billion in annual sales is a portable insulin delivery mechanism. Those are the top 54 drugs in sales in the world. There isn't one of those that performs a function that a mix of vitamins and minerals and a little food flavoring, artificial flavoring, can resolve. Now, here's the drugs by number of U.S. prescriptions dispensed. So this is no longer worldwide sales. This is just the number of U.S. prescriptions. Paxil is number one. That tells you a lot about Americans. Antidepression. It's an obsessive compulsive disorder drug, OCD. Lexapro, depression and generalized anxiety disorder drug. Hydrocortisone. It is a drug that deals with pain. It's interesting in hydrocodone is that it is an American drug. You know, that is a drug that wasn't listed in the top group in world sales. And it is a it's a painkiller that is typically given out by doctors because it's non-addictive. And if you've undergone some kind of a treatment, let's say you broke your arm or you've had some minor surgery, they'll get it, give it to you to get through that period. Xanax is an anxiety and pain disorder. So the 1, 2, and 4 most prescribed drugs in America are all depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, anxiety, panic disorder drugs. Thermadol is a pain medication. Vicodin is a pain medication. So we've got on the top 6, 3 are pain medications and 3 are psychiatric drugs. That does not speak well of the American people. Now, I want to be careful on pain medications because chronic pain is nothing to be trifled with. I don't know how many of you have suffered from chronic pain, but chronic back pain, for example, is prevalent among a lot of people, and there's no operative solution. Operations typically make it worse. There are other forms of pain that you just can't function without it dulled. I've been extraordinarily healthy, although, I did contract malaria during my world travels and hepatitis C also during my world travels, but have never been in a hospital, except in, I had one time, not even in a hospital, but in a surgical center, had some work done to relieve some inflammation in a couple of joints. But at one time, I remember when I was working on landscape in a particular property that was on a hillside and carrying 100 pounds of this, that, and the other up and down stairs that are at a difficult angle, and then working shovels, that I developed some inflammation in my my knees, and man, it really was painful. Now, I did not turn to painkillers to deal with it. I said turn to physical therapy that got the inflammation out of my knees, and I don't have any consequence now. But I can see why somebody would say, without that, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I've occasionally pinched a nerve in my back. Most people probably have. The pain is excruciating. I've had days where you just, if you twist yourself improperly, picking something up improperly, that, you pop something in your back. And now typically I'll go to a chiropractor. And over a course of, a day or two, the problem is resolved. Other people use painkillers. Number seven on the list is Lycera. It's a nerve pain a drug that treats the consequences of diabetes and shingles. Oxycodone, we saw on our other list, painkiller. Lisinopril is a high blood pressure medication. Cymbalta is a depression anxiety drug. That means that 4 out of 10, 7 out of the top 20, and 14 of the top 50 most prescribed drugs are psychiatric drugs. It also means that 4 of the top 10, 6 of the top 20, and 13 of the top 50 most prescribed drugs are pain killers. Lipitor is for cholesterol, number 11. Percocet is for pain, number 12. Zoloft, number 13, is depression, anxiety. Metformin is for type 2 diabetes. Efflexor is for anxiety and depression. Ambien is for sleep, insomnia. Prednisone is for inflammation. Many people have taken it after minor surgical work because it keeps the inflammation from forming and therefore facilitates healing. Antinolol is a high blood pressure medication. Wellbutrin is an antidepressant. Morphine, of course, is prescribed by doctors typically only in a hospital environment to deal with pain. Naproxen is for fever, arthritis, and menstrual cramps, as well as tendinitis. Phentermine is for weight loss. Tylenol is actually, there's a prescription form, is for pain. Aspirin, of course, is for pain and inflammation. And so the list goes on and on. We're now at about 30 on our most prescribed list. But you get the idea. The kinds of products that are made by pharmaceutical companies are extraordinarily helpful, combating a number of ailments that have made life more enjoyable to live, helped people cope, helped combat disease, particularly cancer, diabetes, and asthma, as well as multiple sclerosis. The list goes on and on. To list these companies as enemies, while listing companies without even speaking of companies that make military hardware or cigarettes or alcohol in your list of corrupt companies says there's something corrupt about your thinking. That said, we've got Scott on the line now. We know that he's been able to come from upstairs down into what I call the dungeon to speak to us about sports. Scott, did you watch the conclusion of the World Cup? Oh, I don't hear Scott. I thought that he was with us now and was prepared to join us for our sports in the news segment. When we hear Scott's voice, we will we'll chime in. But in the meantime, I'm going to talk a little bit about sports, and we hope that we'll get Scott here shortly. For those who did see the culmination of the World Cup, which I guess, apart from the Olympics, is the biggest sporting event held every 4 years, it appeared to me that it was 5 seconds of interest over 2 hours of boredom with a very, very fuzzy conclusion. You know, the one scoring play, it didn't actually build as a scoring play. I mean, it was a ball, I think, knocked out of out of bounds. Somebody tossed it and somebody kicked it not too far from the goal. Somebody stopped the ball with a header, dropped the ball down to their foot, and then managed to kick a goal. 5 seconds of excitement in the midst of 2 hours of boredom, as I say, with a fuzzy conclusion. So, Scott, I do hear you now.
Fantastic.
Did you watch the culmination of the World Cup?
I watched the first 90 minutes, and then I had to go do something else.
So you saw the first 2 hour, or the first 90 minutes of 2 hours of absolute boredom. I mean, what a boring game! And the only score was 5 seconds. I mean, there's 5 seconds of excitement. And what you missed, of course, was the fuzzy conclusion, because there wasn't a single player or a single commentator that had any idea when the game was going to be over. It's just, okay, well, we don't know when it's going to be over. Okay, they're continuing to try to tie the game. Okay, well, oh, there it is. He blew the whistle. I guess the game is over now. We'll return with Scott after. Moving on to the big item in American news, since the World Cup is now long forgotten. I do think, though, that there were many naps that were facilitated. Ambien sales probably went down during the final game of the World Cup. The big news in America is that King James is going home. What do you think about James leaving Miami, not with not three, not four, not five, not six championships, but with two championships, and going back home to Cleveland, where his jerseys were burned, where people had a conniption fit started LeBron James hate associations, and the owner of the team dashed off a bunch of racist claims that were extraordinarily demeaning. Why play for such a man and for such fans?
It must have been a great conversation because the stuff that was said originally by Dan Gilbert about LeBron were pretty repulsive. And he fed into the frenzy of his fans in their dislike of LeBron because somebody chose to...
I thought that Gilbert's open letter to LeBron was far worse than Don Sterling's privately recorded, surreptitiously, illegally recorded conversations to the prostitute.
Yeah, like I said, it must have been a great conversation to mend that bridge. Me personally, I think LeBron James is the smartest professional athlete of my lifetime. One, nobody's going to really care who you played for when everything's all said and done. It's about how many championships you're going to win. And free agency is the one way where you get to choose, pick and choose, and set yourself up with the best chance. And Cleveland's got a lot of young parts, a lot of great potential.
Yeah, but their young parts miss more games than they play. I mean, that team that he just went to, The two stars, the young stars on that team are injured more than they're healthy. I think that that team has got a 3% chance of winning an NBA championship over the next 2 years while LeBron is there.
I think they're going to trade for Kevin Love.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they will trade for Kevin Love. I think Kevin Love's going to be there.
That would certainly help them because it would give LeBron actually a dependable player that he could play with. But, you know, I don't think this was the, first of all, I would not. I think LeBron is a reasonably smart guy, for particularly for a guy that never had the opportunity to go to college, never had a male role model in his life that can provide some added guidance. I wouldn't put him in my my top 100 smartest athletes, but I would say that he is amongst the most moral major athletic stars, and morality I would view as more important than mental capacity. He's the one sports star that, I mean, there isn't a single blemish on this man's character and reputation. So I think he's an extraordinary man morally. And, you know, if he wants to go home and play where he was raised, where, as he said, where I fell down and bled on asphalt basketball courts and where my friends and family are, where I grew up and dreamed and have aspirations, more power to him. I mean, he says it's the beauty of free agency. Yep. You know, he's gonna make less money doing it, but that's never been important to LeBron, even though he did ask for a max deal. But he's a max deal moving away. So, for example, Chris Bosh is being paid $118 million, and the deal for LeBron James is $88 million. So he forewent money to play at home.
He also only signed a 2-year deal.
Yeah, no, so he can leave when he wants to leave.
So. I agree with your assessment of his character. I think he's one of the most likable.
Yeah, I think so too.
One of the most likable athletes I've ever met. He's obviously the best at basketball in the world.
Yes. Yep.
And he hasn't gone. The two guys that before him that were the best were Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, and they're both jerks.
They're both jerks.
Absolutely, yeah. Jerks.
Yep.
And LeBron has gone the complete other way, and he's criticized for it. You know, among a lot of people, they criticize him. Oh, he's not like Jordan. He's not like Kobe.
Yep.
I don't want him to be. Yeah. I put him up there with Peyton Manning as guys that I generally like.
I so dislike, however, the way that the Cleveland fans reacted to his departure, and I so dislike Gilbert, the owner of the team. That even though I, like you, respect LeBron James, not only for his athletic ability, but for his character and personality, God, it's going to be a hard time, hard rooting for that team, considering the way the fans responded and the owner responded. We'll be back and talk more about this in a moment. Discussion with Scott, for those wondering where Aaron might be. I think I mentioned earlier last week that Randy has taken over the controls of the Shattering Myths program, and that Aaron has been reassigned during this time. And what we're going to hope to do is when Aaron has a break, isn't doing another show live at this time, it is a pre-recorded show, that will include Aaron again. Moving to the next item in the news, Scott. Don Sterling was in Los Angeles court 2 days. He told everyone the first day how much he loved his wife and then called his wife a pig and every derogatory term that you could possibly use to describe her. And the man came across in court constantly losing control of himself and contradicting himself. That strikes me as we're right back to the first thing I shared with you on the first Sports in the News program that we did together. You remember what that
was?
Yeah,
it doesn't make him look like a very sane person.
He's lost his mind. He's an old guy who has lost his ability to be rational. It happens, you know? And it's obvious. When you listen to that the rant that the prostitute that... recorded illegally. The thing that comes off immediately is that she is provoking him for the purpose of blackmail, and that she's leading the witness, and in this particular case, that Don Sterling is lost it, that he's an old guy, and he's lost the ability to control what he thinks and says. We should be feeling sorry for the man. I understand what he said is disgusting, but he's out of his mind. He's lost his ability to think. I mean, why are we continuing to vilify a guy who's sick?
Why are they continuing to let him go up and say these things? Why are they,
Well, yeah, he sued his wife, saying that his wife wrongly accused him of being out of his mind, and so that he should be able to carry out his own affairs. And his wife says, no, he's got Alzheimer's disease. He's no longer rational, and I have to step in and manage his trust, so we're going to sell
the
team.
The thing, though, is shouldn't the judge say at some point in time, we're going to take this into private. This is now a private matter. We're going to talk this through.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. I agree.
You don't have to have – there's no reason to have reporters and everything in
the
there.
The NBA has blown this. The press has blown this. The judge blew it. But it's so obvious this man is suffering from Alzheimer's.
But it's for the exact reasons that you said, though, is that you don't need to do anything more to make him prove what he said was bad, and you don't need to do anything more to vilify him.
You shouldn't vilify him at all. You and I still have our mental faculties. But if you were to or I were to lose our mental faculties and we no longer have control over what we think and say because of some disease in our brains, you know, it's not fair to parade our stupidity in front of the world. Listen, I'm going to use my mother-in-law as an example because no one listening to this program knows my mother-in-law. And so I'm not embarrassing her, and she's now gone. Towards the last month of her life, mentally, she lost it. She had renal failure, kidneys failed, and therefore that her body was unable to process toxins, and so the toxins ultimately got to her brain just because the system couldn't flush it out. And I'd go talk to her, and she'd talk about having seen polar bears walk outside and dance in front of her window, and tanks rolling by, and circuses perform. She was serious about this stuff, and she would say it just like we're talking here. And you know, you don't say she's wrong. You say, you know, and the costumes on those polar bears, weren't they cute? And you know, because you know the person is suffering, you want to have empathy for them.
And you're also not going to take that and make that her last, you know, oh, this is what she was like. Yeah.
Oh, no, she was a wonderful person. Am I going to say that my mother-in-law was a crazy loon because in the last month of her life, her kidneys failed and she couldn't process toxins, which caused her to be unable to control her thinking and speech? Of course not. In fact, I now look at it as it's a funny story because it's one of, you know, just many wonderful moments that I shared with this wonderful woman. But that's not how we're treating Don Sterling, and it's not fair. It's like, not moral what we're doing.
Like I said, if I was the judge, I would be like, you know what, this is a private matter now. We're going into a private. We're taking this behind closed doors.
Right. I've heard enough.
I've heard enough.
Yeah.
Especially after his testimony, I've heard enough. We're everybody out. I just want lawyers from both sides. And that's that's what you should do. That's not what they're gonna do because everybody.
And it was all over front page of the LA Times sports section. About him making an absolute fool of himself. He's sick.
Definitely.
He's sick. It can happen to any of us. He's sick. A small matter, but for those of us who tried to wait it out through the rain delays and in your city for the All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby, boy, that was boring. I mean, with exception of Miami's Stanton looking very formidable in the first round, the only thing that was notable is Yasiel Puig, who's one of my favorite players. I mean, he laid an egg.
Oh, yeah. First person in 2 years not to hit a home run.
Oh, yep. But it, I mean, the only thing he actually hit was a long foul ball. But, I mean, the first pitch, it looked like he was trying to bunt it off. I am a Yasiel Puig fan in terms of his ability. I'm a bigger fan of Trout with the Angels. I think Trout is a more all-around player, but there's no denying Yasiel Puig is an exciting player to watch, but man, did he ever lay an egg?
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. First person since, like I said, Robinson Cano, 2 years
yes.
ago to not hit at least a homer. I can't imagine what that feeling feels like, because he's one of the better home run hitters in the league.
Powerful guy.
And I bet he's getting razzed by all his teammates.
You better believe it.
I bet they're all over him.
And they were building him up. He was he's the most interesting player in baseball. So ESPN was trying to build him up, and he just laid an egg. And I'm sorry, because I'm a Yasiel Puig fan.
I didn't actually watch it last night. How was the new format? I know that they went to some new format.
I think part of the new format, I'm not sure, but they only 7 outs in the first round is all you got. And I didn't know if they shortened it because of the rain delay or that was just the new format. But I've watched it in the past and been entertained. I was not entertained, other than I was impressed by Stanton from Miami. I mean, he is really an interesting player. But you know, you look at the Oakland A's left fielder that won. You know what he's batting this year? He's only batting .246. You know, it's just that he has a swing that. That for these slow pitches for and served up on a plate for home runs prevails. He's won twice in a row, but not much of a hitter.
Suspedes.
We have transgender that the President of the United States is trying to promote, but there's also transposition. The most famous transposition sports player is a man that doesn't know if he's a tight end or wide receiver. If you look at his Facebook page, he's a tight end. In court proceedings, he is a wide receiver. That would be Jimmy Graham of the Saints. Were you happy to see that he resolved his great conflict with the Saints and signed a 4-year, $40 million deal? Got wide receiver money.
Yeah. I mean, good for him. I thought it was a dumb argument to begin with. He lines up at tight end. Sometimes they split him out, but that's not, they made the right call by calling him a tight end. And how the whole case played out where they were, you know, oh, his bio on, you know,
right. Facebook,
on Twitter, Twitter, which I thought, some other NFL players had a great, response to that when they changed their bio to NFL quarterback. there's a few offensive linemen that changed their bio to "I'm an NFL quarterback."
That's funny. And what we're talking about here is that you can franchise a player in the NFL, and if you franchise him, I think what you give him is the average salary of the highest played five players at his particular position.
Unless he's one of the five highest, and then it's the top two. Then you average it out of the top two.
Okay. And so tight ends don't make as much money as wide receivers, and therefore he wanted to be a wide receiver when he's franchised, not a tight end. And, of course, a franchised quarterback would make the most money because quarterbacks get paid the most in the NFL. That was kind of funny. We had a transposition player.
Yeah, transposition player.
Yes.
And I bet Cordell Stewart from the Pittsburgh Steelers days of being slash. I bet he wishes he had this sort of thing at his disposal because he played quarterback, running back, receiver.
These quarterbacks like Russell Wilson and Kaepernick and RG3 are now going to franchise for running back and quarterback money, a little combination of both, right?
Wouldn't you? I mean, it seems like the smart play.
Seems like the smart play. British Open, or it's the Open Championship, they call it this week. Do you have a favorite? Phil is 20-1, Tiger 18, Justin Rose 14-1, Adam Scott 16-1, Rory 14-1, and Martin Keimer, who won the U.S. Open 20-1. If you're looking for a long shot, Sir Nick Faldo is 1,000-1.
Well, this is where we really differ.
Yes.
This is where we really, really differ. I'm cheering for, Keimer? Or
Martin Keimer, okay.
Martin Keimer, or...
Martin Keimer, by the way, is a really good guy. I mean, Martin Keimer, born in Germany, lives in the United States. I think he went to Northwestern, if I'm not mistaken. I married a college sweetheart. She divorced him for a hockey player. But Martin Keimer, he is a real class act. So, you know, I don't have a problem with Martin Keimer winning. I would pull for him. How about you?
Yeah, definitely. Tiger or Rory are the other two that I don't mind seeing win.
Okay, I'll pull for Phil. Welcome back to Shattering News. We're talking about our favorites for the British Open. And I picked Phil and Adam Scott, and certainly wouldn't have a problem with Martin Keimer. I pick golfers based upon them being good guys, and Phil Mickelson is probably the nicest guy on the tour. Adam Scott would be a close second. Martin Keimer maybe third. I would have had Roy McIlroy in that group, but something about you date a girl for a couple of years in a high-profile dating situation. You propose. You buy her a big honking ring. You set a date. You send out wedding invitations, and then you pick up the phone and call her and say, oh, by the way, I don't want to marry you.
Oh,
that's going to knock him down for a while off him.
You're so old-fashioned.
I know, so old-fashioned about that sort of thing.
Save everybody time. Send an email.
Yeah, send an email. Just a text. That's a no-go.
Yeah,
speaking of jerks, Alex Rodriguez has now got a new legal challenge. You know what that is?
With his lawyers.
Yeah, he's being sued by his own lawyers. He didn't pay them. The guys that managed his case against the Major League Baseball, he owes them $380,000 for their work fighting his steroid suspension, and he doesn't want to pay them.
How does that work? Do you get a lawyer to fight your lawyers?
I don't know what you do at that point. I mean, your lawyers are conflicted out at that point. They're suing you. So I guess you get another lawyer to fight your lawyer. I don't know.
Hey, Craig, I got this thing here saying that you're suing me. Are you gonna help me on this one? Or?
Yeah, right. Now, speaking of the law and being on the wrong side of the law, New England's Patriot tight end, former tight end, Aaron Hernandez in University of Florida, scumbag. Under Urban Meyer, had his lawyers try to suppress evidence that was collected from the video surveillance taken at his home and from his cell phone that shows his whereabouts the night that Odin Lloyd not only died but was murdered by Mr. Hernandez. The judge says, no, I don't think we're going to throw out that evidence. What's your impression of that case?
Well, one, I don't even know why you try and get that thrown out.
Well, I know why you try to get it thrown out, because it proves you're guilty.
Yeah.
That's why you would try to.
We don't like it,
Your Honor, because this evidence proves that my client murdered that man, and we can't get a fair trial if the evidence proves that he murdered her.
But there's no way they thought that was going to work. I mean, if they actually did throw it out, what kind of outrage would there be?
Oh, yeah. I mean, with the video, by the way, the cell phones not only show how Hernandez lured Odin Lloyd into the meeting, but they actually show Odin Lloyd in the car being driven by Aaron Hernandez, being picked up and driven in the middle of the night. They show, because they're trackable, they show exactly where they went, the group of them, including Aaron Hernandez and Odin Lloyd and Posse, to the place where Odin Lloyd's body was found at the time of that he was murdered, and then show him driving away back to his home, which is only like 5 minutes away. And so the cell phones tell the whole story. And then on top of that, Aaron Hernandez's home video system shows a picture of Aaron Hernandez walking into his home 5 minutes after the murders holding the handgun.
Yeah, it's just, this is like one of the worst thought out, worst thought out murders in the history of murders. The only one that like could maybe even rattle it is the Pistorius case from South Africa.
Well, or the OJ case.
Yeah, but yeah. The most.
I'm gonna leave a glove here. I'm gonna leave a glove there. I'm gonna leave a trail of blood all the way to my house and hope to hell that the district attorney transfers the case to Los Angeles and he can get a jury of 12 morons that can be convinced that this was a racist plot, a conspiracy against race as opposed to looking at the evidence.
And then I'll write a book about it as if I would, if I did do it, I would have did it this way.
Yeah.
But the Pistorius case is another one where it's like you unloaded your gun like 5 times into the bathroom. Who do you think was in there?
Yeah, while your girlfriend is screaming at you. I mean.
Who do you think's in there? I mean, this is just one of those things where you're right. I understand why he wants it thrown out. I just don't understand why common sense even allows that to come up. You know?
Yeah, the judge, Susan Garsh, wrote, without doubt, the surveillance video was related to the criminal activity under investigation. And she says, therefore, there is no reasonable basis for throwing it out. Yeah, it's Aaron Hernandez is a blight on humanity. He is a blight on the New England Patriots. He's a blight on Urban Meyer and the University of Florida football team, on the SEC, on the NCAA, all of which coddled the man just as they are now with Jameis Winston, although he is Florida State and the ACC. It's disgusting.